Log Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sun Guy with you. Key Tree Vokes, I believe, will be joining us later on. But if you're looking for some pro wrestling this coming weekend, tonight you have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana, PWA in Campbell River, B.C., Hood Slam in Oakland, California, NCW in Cornelia, Georgia, XWE in Nelsonville, Ohio, and PCW in San Antonio, Texas. Tomorrow night, WCWC in Clackamas, Oregon, featuring the debut of Casey Carlisle there. MSWA in Rockwood, Tennessee. ECW in Johnson City, Tennessee. RWA in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. WBW in Oregon, Ohio. MWF in Valley Brook, Oklahoma. DBCW in Hernando, Mississippi. WGW in Hibbing, Minnesota. WAR in Huntington, Indiana. New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana. NFW in Evansville, Indiana. HPW in Columbus, Indiana. PWA in Springfield, Illinois. AAW in LaSalle, Illinois. And Big League Wrestling in Toppenish, Washington, where you can find me tomorrow night. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest today. He is out of the windy city of Chicago, Illinois. Santana Starks, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Well, since today is your first day on our program, we're going to give you the first-timer's question to start the show. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, you know, that's, you know, wrestling's something I've loved my whole life. You know, I think I was probably about 10 years old when I, you know, discovered WWE programming on TV. I believe it was back then it was, you know, something you had to catch very late at night. You know, it wasn't, you know, something you could catch every Monday, you know, and all that and whatnot. So, you know, it was very, you know, hard to catch the stuff. But when I did, I loved it. You know, it was something that, you know, that caught me, that, you know, definitely sparked, you know, a huge interest in me. And I would stay up late just to watch it. So, you know, that was something that always, you know, held on to me. And as it progressed and got bigger, Monday Night Raw started, and I was, you know, obviously hooked, you know, from then on. You know, every Monday night, I was plugged right in front of the TV, you know, making sure that, you know, I kept up with everything. You know, I was definitely a very, you know, very, very huge fan to start off with. I'm, you know, these days I'm not too big of a WWE fan. I don't watch it as much as I'd like to, but I'm definitely still a fan of wrestling, especially indie wrestling. Indie wrestling, I love it. You know, it's something that I've been doing myself for 15 years. And I started my own indie fed out here in Chicago, which, if anybody knows the Chicago market, is absolutely insane to try to run a show and start a fed. And, you know, there's so many different feds, you know, like, you know, AAW is a big monster out here, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, it's always been, like I said, a big dream of mine, a big passion of mine, and I just decided to pursue it.
Now, in the Chicago area, like you referenced, it's always been a hotbed of wrestling going back since the
early days
of pro wrestling.
Give me 1 second here.
Sure. Bear with us, folks. We shall resume shortly. Bear with us.
All right, so sorry about that.
No problem. So, like I was saying, Chicago is always a hotbed of wrestling, and you've always had a big talent pool in Chicago. Windy City Wrestling was huge in the late 80s, early 90s, and you had guys like Christopher Daniels and Diceman Ronnie Vegas coming out of Windy City. You've always had a lot of great talent out of there. As someone that has been there for the last 15 years and has seen a lot of the talent pool in the Chicago area and the Midwest in general, who would you say are some of the more underrated wrestlers that have come out in your time in the business?
You know, there's been so many. You know, I definitely like to say that, you know, like the Chicago, like, Midwest area kind of gets overlooked with the amount of talent that we have out here. I believe, you know, it's definitely overlooked. Somebody that, you know, you want to know who's been overlooked that's actually, you know, made a name for themselves out of here is what you're saying?
Just in your own opinion, who's in general overlooked?
I think, you know, one guy that came out of Windy City Pro Wrestling that was definitely overlooked. He's a legend definitely around the area now. He actually retired, but he was, you know, huge, and he did big things with Sam DeCero, you know, Windy City Pro Wrestling way back when, and he still continued throughout his day. He just barely retired. His name was Mike Anthony. But this guy is a wrestling machine, man. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not. This guy, I'm telling you, he actually won, you know, multiple, you know, state championships when he was in high school. You know, this guy, like I said, you know, very, very much can be compared to Kurt Angle, very much. And I would never compare anybody to Kurt Angle because we all know how wrestling god, you know what I'm saying, Kurt Angle is. But, I mean, Mike Anthony is definitely up on the same scale as far as that goes. He's very, you know, he was just a very talented guy inside the ring and out. I mean, don't get me wrong, you didn't want to give the guy a microphone. A lot of the guy, he was a wrestling guy, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the guys don't need to have that microphone set when you're that good at wrestling, and he was that good, you know. He never had to say too much or anything like that. But, you know, he was a great guy, and I think that definitely overlooked. Should have been somebody that made it up there at least for a little bit, you know. But, you know, as you know as well as I do, you know, probably maybe like 15% of the, you know, indie wrestlers out there in America, how probably even the world, are actually going to be on a, you know, big scale wrestling, you know, WWE type of show. So, you know, it's very hard, you know, it's hard to say who would do it, you know. When I was training 10 years ago, I was training, I actually started with PCW when I first started and got into the scene. I started with PCW, Pro Championship Wrestling, out of Elk Grove. That's where I did all my training, and there was like this big split. There was this big split in the company where some owners thought they were better than whatever the case may be. They were originally PWA, they became PCW, now they were splitting into what is now known as AAW. They started the company AAW out of Berwyn, Illinois, out of the Berwyn Eagles Club. And it was, you know, it was something that didn't catch on immediately. You know, first like 3 or 4 years of AAW, you know, it wasn't exactly blooming, you know, the crowds weren't gigantic, you know, but it was definitely, you could see the heart in the company. You know, and this is where it all kind of started, and down here for me, and it's been a pretty big crazy roller coaster of a ride, if you will, as far as that goes. But you know, I don't know how I got spinning off into that when he asked me about overratedness, but yeah, it's definitely something that, you know. Coming from AEW, starting Anarchy Pro Wrestling, it's, you know, this Chicago scene is flooded, and I mean flooded with independent feds. You know, there's a show every Friday and Saturday out here. It's absolutely crazy. You know, especially I hate to put it this way, but when tax times comes around, you know, everybody and their mama tries to be a Fed owner. Since you know, out here in Illinois, there's no commission. You know, there's no state commission or anything. So, you know, something that I think they need to bring back definitely, because you got a lot of these guys out here. Like I said, they get their tax refund and they think that they're, you know, hey, I actually had one guy come up to me and tell me this, hey, you know, I know a guy that rents a ring, I know a hall. Want to throw a show? I was like, oh my God, I'm like, that's all the wrong reasons to throw a show. But you know, it's, I guess that's just how it is when there's nobody commissioning and running this stuff and keeping, you know, tabs on it. But you know, that's Chicago.
And you mentioned training and breaking in. Since you've been in the business for quite a while yourself now, have you trained any of the new breed of wrestlers? Have you actually gone in and helped train active wrestlers for the ring?
Yeah, most definitely. When I was in PCW, I actually, with my years there, I actually ran their Wednesday practice every week. And there was somewhere, that was something I was very proud of. And, you know, a lot of guys that are doing big things out of, like, you know, the Midwest area over here. I don't know how familiar you are with the guys, like, around here. But, like, you know, there's guys like Mojo McQueen, B.O.W. There are multiple guys, like, around here that are doing big things that I've trained myself. One guy that I must say, I think this is why I brought up AAW when we first started. When I first started in AAW about 15 years ago, there was two guys that came down from Iowa, because when basically the first owner of AAW, just like I said, the first couple of years it just wasn't doing that well. Danny Daniels came down from wherever he came down from, and he brought two rookies with him as well. These two rookies, Merrick Brave and Tyler Black. And, you know, these guys, you know, definitely had something very, you know, good behind them. We trained with them, you know. We were going, you know, head-to-head, neck-and-neck, doing all the things that they could. But, you know, honestly, sometimes some guys just get a better push than other guys. And, you know, they got a really good push. You know, we ended up leaving, me and my tag partner ended up leaving the company. And that's when Tyler Black and Merrick Brave just blew up in AAW. And now Merrick Brave is running a school, I believe out of somewhere in Illinois, but it's called the Brave and Black Academy, I believe. And Merrick, Tyler Black, as you know, now is Seth Rollins doing big things in WWE. So it's kind of crazy how, you know, you're training with somebody and you have no clue, you know. I mean, like I said, I always thought he was a really great talent, you know, even when we were just training and he was a rookie. Before he made any type of name for himself, you know, always seen that, you know, that determination in him. You know, he had the great look to him, you know, always had a great cut, great look, you know, and, you know, definitely helped him pursue what he needed to pursue, because he made it, you know, to the top of WWE, and, you know, he's still there. You know, it's a great thing to see him up there. You know, it's funny thing, you know, I've got a son. And the funny thing about that is he actually got a Seth Rollins toy for Christmas, and it just made me crack up. Like, man, I remember training with this guy, and here he is. You know, 15 years later, my kid's getting him for a Christmas present. That's pretty wild.
Black and Brave Academy produces a lot of great talent. We have a regular up here in the Pacific Northwest that train with them, and he is extremely good. So you did a good job helping those guys get a solid foundation, because they have passed that along to the next generation as well. Now, last week we had Kelly Klein up in our area, and she was conducting a couple of seminars. One of the things that she touched in her seminar was the importance of communicating between the wrestlers and the production teams for when shows not only are doing television, but just in general doing the live shows, and having the people that run the music and the people that
are ring announcing and handling all the little things that the fans don't necessarily see during the course of a show. How would you say that the communication level is between your average independent roster of wrestlers and the production team?
Honestly, there's not much. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, you try to, you know, there's only so much you can do as a promoter, you know, in the indies. You know, you strive to, you do your best to put together a really great, you know, type of production. You get your truss setting, you get your lights, ramp, all that good stuff. You get, you know, the great cameras, and, you know, all you do is you go into the locker room and you ask these guys one thing, and that one thing is play to the camera. You've got to play to the camera. You show them where the hard cam is. You tell them, you know, play to the camera. You know, even if there's, you know, with indie wrestling, you never know. Sometimes you have 100 people. Sometimes you have 300 people. You know, it's a roll of the dice. You know, you never know. Sometimes people only have 15 people. You know, it's all a roll of the dice. And you know, I kind of lost track of where I was going with that. But yeah, with production, you have it's very weird. The guys that play to it, the guys that, you know, you tell, you know, they're the ones that want it more. You know, it's really hard to kind of put it into words, because a lot of guys will play to it, a lot of guys won't. But, you know, you use what you can. Especially, I do all my own producing and production and all that, so it's really hard to get these guys to play to the camera, as weird as that sounds.
In a similar vein, a lot of companies on the independent level now are doing live streaming with the various outlets that are available to them. Roku at one point had an independent wrestling channel. I'm not sure if that's still active, but you were seeing more and more content being put up by independent companies. Do you think that some wrestling companies are going onto this live streaming bandwagon before they're ready? And do you think that hurts the overall independent market when you have so many companies trying to get television that may or may not necessarily be ready for televising their product?
Well, you know, that's one thing that's a good question, because, you know, live streaming is a lot different than just, you know, recording something and producing and putting it all together. Live streaming and it's all on its own is it's very hard. I've done live streaming before. Like I said, I produce all my own content, videos and whatnot. And, you know, I've done live streaming before, and it's very hard. You know, the programs and tools that are available to you are, you know, it's something that you almost have to be schooled in, or somebody has to teach you to really get them, unless you just want to put a, which kind of kills me when you watch some of these live streams, and it's a camera that's 30 feet away from, you know, from the ring. All you see is these two little black, you know, figures wrestling. You don't know who's who, you know, and if you ask me, then you might as well just not even put it out there. You know, if you're really going to half-ass it and whatnot, just don't put it out there. You know, when I try to put something on for my company, Anarchy Pro.com, if you want to check us out, or you can check us out on YouTube, the stuff that I put together. Anarchy Pro is all one word. Anarchy Pro TV, all one word on YouTube. But when I put stuff together, you know, I don't like to put it together half-assed. So when I've done the live streaming, I've actually done it where I've downloaded the programs, and, you know, you go through multiple views. So I've got, you know, I've got one guy roaming around the ring. I've got one hard cam, and I actually got two hard cams, you know. So it looks really good. You switch through views, but I'm not going to lie to you. It's very hard, and it's something that I had to get taught. It wasn't something that I just, you know, hey, let me go out here and just try to wing it. You know, it's something that you really have to put, you know, some effort into. And a lot, the unfortunate part about indie wrestling, a lot of them don't put that effort into it. They don't care to put the effort into it. They, a lot of feds are, you know what, I rented a venue, I'm going to throw a curtain over this doorway, let's do this. And, you know, that I think that's what sets the, you know, the difference between a lot of indie feds that don't just do that. A lot of, you know, indie feds that, you know, put pride into their production and they use a truss setting and, you know, real lighting and, you know, actually put some money and effort into this, because unfortunately there's too many feds out there that just do the old curtain over the doorway, you know, so.
That is a very true statement. I have seen a lot of promotions that maybe shouldn't have gone into live streaming.
Yeah, it's with live streaming, I'm telling you, it's a whole different ballpark. You know, you take 3 hours of footage that you recorded, you put it into your video editing software. I mean, there's times where I'm doing this video editing, you know, software, and a move looks horrible. And I mean, God awful. He think he even missed it, you know. But I switched to a different view, and it looks like he smashed them. You know, that's the beauty about editing and, you know, production. You know, you can do stuff like that. Live streaming, everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. And if you want people to actually like your live stream and continue to watch it, you have to, no matter what, you've got to go, you've got to do multiple views. You've got to get closer. You've got to do something to draw them in. Do interviews in between the matches. Who knows? Something to spice it up, because just a camera 30 feet away from the ring, live streaming, if you ask me, is just crap. You might as well not have done it.
Well, my co-host QT Vokes is unable to be on today, but he left me a few questions to ask you, so I'm going to go into some of the things QT wanted to hit on. His first question is, based on his video analysis of some of the matches you were in that he watched, he's going to guess your physical attributes being 5'9¼" and 182 pounds. Is he anywhere close to that?
Yeah, he's pretty close. You know, I'm 5'9", and I'd say I'm about 205.
Not that bad, then. He was pretty close.
Wow.
His second question.
Close. Only 20 pounds off. You know, it's hard to tell with my body structure. So, but yeah, I'm about 205 or so. Hopefully, I can cut that down.
All right. His next question is, he wants to know if you remember an event that took place on his last birthday, September the 2nd of 2017. It was an event called Anarchy Pro Aftermath, and it was held at the Berwyn Eagles.
Oh, I definitely remember that, yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about who you faced that night?
Well, I don't wrestle for Anarchy Pro. I don't wrestle for Anarchy Pro for the simple fact, let me just give you a little information about this. When I first started Anarchy Pro, I did wrestle for Anarchy, and it kind of gets to the point where no matter what you do, you're going to get crucified for it, because everybody thinks that you started this fed to put yourself over. You know what I'm saying? So this Anarchy, I wrestled for maybe like the first 2-3 years, but I only wrestled to help advance and put other wrestlers over. So I never, you know, I may have won a couple of matches. You know, I never held a title. You know, I never made myself heavyweight champion. I never threw myself in the main event. Never made myself the number one storyline or anything like that. So for me, Anarchy Pro, when I started it almost 8 years ago, It was something that I had a vision that I wanted to do, and I'm more useful at Anarchy behind the scenes than I am actually in the ring, because, as I said, I do the production as far as the putting out the videos and whatnot, and sometimes it's going to sound weird. I went through many multiple different cameramen. Some get it, some don't. I'd say about 95% of them don't get it. You know, there's a certain way to shoot. You know, you got to shoot between the ropes. You know, you can't have the rope in the middle of the screen. You know, there's certain aspects, certain views when the entrances are coming out. You know, I don't just want him to stand, you know, 20 feet away from the entrance. I want it to be cinematic. So, you know, I do that type of thing. So I actually do the camera work myself, you know. So, and on top of doing the camera work, I, you know, I'm running backstage and making sure that all the cues are getting hit, you know, keeping times, you know, I'm doing a lot backstage there. I'm almost a one-man band. There's no partners in Anarchy or whatnot. It's really a one-man band that I've been keeping afloat for the past, you know, like I said, 8 years. And it's been something that's probably put a couple of gray hairs on my head, but I definitely wouldn't ever give it back for anything in the world. And we actually got a huge, huge show, taking a couple of months off, but we got a huge show coming up on April 14th at the Summit Park District in Summit, Illinois.
QT's final question is, he is wondering if you've ever come across someone that splits his time between here in our neck of the woods in the Northwest and the Midwest quite often when he wrestles stateside, that being Chief Atakulakula.
Oh, yeah, I definitely know Chief Atakulakula. Yeah, he's been down to Anarchy quite a couple of times, and that guy, let me tell you, guys like him, and I don't know if you've heard somebody that travels just as much as he does all over the place, called The Beast. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but
I've worked with him as well.
Yeah, those two guys to me are legends, man. I mean, legends. You know, those guys have been all over the world working for so many promotions that they probably can't even keep count. You know, these guys are, you know, what, you know, if you ask me what you want to be, what you want to do, you want the way they're traveling, the way they promote themselves, the way, you know, Chief's always promoting himself, making videos. He's got this cool ass song, you know, I mean, he's a genuinely cool dude. He's got that cool pink mohawk, you know, he'll do whatever. You know, if you need him in a regular match, you need him in a hardcore death match, whatever you need, Chief's down. Chief's down to whoop some ass. You know, like, you know, that's the cool thing about Chief, and that's the same thing with the Beast. So that is really cool that you mentioned that, Chief and the Beast, because those are two guys that I look up to very, very much. And, you know, to the things they do and the things they've done for the business, you know, it's really cool, and, you know, I hope that, you know, they're still going to be around for many, many years to come. I mean, they're still doing innovative shit, man. I mean, I seen, hopefully I don't get trouble for swearing, but I just seen a video with Beast. You know, me and Beast are really close, and we were just taking a car ride the other day, with each other, relaxing, but, we were talking, and I seen this video with him. He jumped off the apron and did like a senton splash on somebody that was on the table. I was like, what the hell? I ain't taking that. But God bless the guy who did. And we just laughed about it and whatnot. But yeah, man, I mean, those two guys, if you ask me, man, you ever want to get some advice from a couple of guys that have been there, that have done some things, that have traveled, that have, you know how to promote themselves, definitely Chief Atakulakula and the Beast. Definitely some of the number one guys to talk to.
Now, I'm sure in your career you've been in matches of all varying types of lengths, and as people know, it takes a lot of great cardiovascular conditioning to be in the ring, especially when you're in there for 15, 20, 30 minutes sometimes. What would you say has been the longest match that you've had so far in your career?
I'd say my longest one was probably somewhere around like 28 minutes. 28 minutes, and that one, I'm not going to lie, I was so, that's the only reason I actually counted how long we were in the ring, was because I was so blown up at the end of it. It was like right towards the end, and I was like, I couldn't breathe. I was like, holy moly, the last couple of moves were hard for me to do. My arms were just like spaghetti, and I've never been like that before. So I would want, you know, I went back and checked out the tape, and yeah, we were out there for close to 28 minutes, and it may not seem, you know, some of these guys doing Iron Man matches and, you know, whatnot, you know, I believe we were billed to do 15 to 20, and we won 28, so it was such a good match that the promoter didn't care, but you know, usually we try to stick to our times.
One of the things that when I referee, I'm always trying to do is keep abreast of the time so guys know how long they've been in there, especially if it's a situation where things are important to go to time. When you're in there with a referee, do you rely on them to relay messages from the office, such like time or maybe positioning, or if you're in there with someone that may not have experience, maybe to guide them as well?
I usually don't depend on the referees for that, but I definitely do listen out. You know, it's really weird. You kind of have like a little bit of an internal clock where you just kind of know when where you're at in a match. You know, when you're planning it out, you kind of know where you're going to be at that point too. As weird as that sounds, so when you're planning out, you know your second hopeful or you know your double down or whatnot, you kind of figure it in around like, you know, if you got a 10 to 12 minute match, and you're figuring out all, you're talking through all your stuff, you figure your double down is going to be somewhere around the 8 minute mark, you know, 8-9 minute mark, and you know, that's when you're bringing it home and whatnot. So I usually have an internal clock and with the way I structure a match and what, but definitely, you know, everybody loses track of time here and there. As I told you, we went 28 minutes, we're only supposed to go like 20 max. So it's great, you know, when the person that has microphone into the referee, because not a lot of them do, but when you have a microphone plugged into the ref's ear, so the ref can tell you, you know, changes to the match or something like that. Because there's been a couple times where, you know, there's been audibles. We're called an audible in the middle of the match, and, you know, they have to deal with it. You know, so, it, you know, it's wrestling. What can you do?
Alan, your part of the country in the Midwest, the fans tend to be a little more passionate sometimes. Sometimes they are a little bit more rambunctious than fans in other parts of the country.
Oh, yeah.
I know in the Midwest sometimes things get a little bit scary in certain situations with fans. What would you say have been some of the scariest fans that you've encountered?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fans out here are brutal. So to put it in the nicest way possible, indie wrestling is definitely, you know, is not taken lightly in Chicago whatsoever. It's something that, you know, the fans are very passionate about. You know, and you've got fans of all kinds. You know, you've got your young fans that are into the PG-13 WWE stuff, and you know, you've got your fans that are into Anarchy Wrestling, that are into like freelance wrestling, that are a little bit more, you know, grittier, a little bit more raunchy, a little bit more aimed towards, you know, the adult audience. And it's definitely, you know, something out here that in Chicago, it's the fans in a whole, I would say, are like a gang, man. You know, and they all stick together. You know, if one of them even catches for a second that you fucked up or your match is starting to stink up the place, whatnot, people will jump on the bandwagon really quick. You know, they start chanting boring or, you know, please don't talk, you know. And, you know, a little example about the Midwest, all, you know, I think not only, it's not only just Chicago, but I think, like, all the, you know, very close surrounding area fans as well, like the Northwest Indiana fans. Hell, some of even like, you know, some of the, you know, Wisconsin fans I found out personally are pretty damn brutal. When my buddy Max Holiday, my good buddy Max Holiday was getting inducted into their, I want to say like a little bit of like a Hall of Fame type of thing, like a Hall of Honor. It's like a Hall of Honor. He's still really young. No reason to be in a Hall of Fame for him, but it's like a Hall of Honor, and they wanted me to induct them. And I'm a huge Cubs fan. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I am probably one of the hugest Cubs fans you'll ever come across. And I'm always rocking Cubs gear year-round, whether it's a hat or coat, whatever it may be, I'm always rocking some kind of Cubs gear. And it just so happened, it was a really cold day, and I threw on this really, really nice Cubs coat. It's like a Letterman type of jacket, like really nice. It said, you know, World Series champions. I mean, beautiful coat. I love it. People are jealous of it all over the place. You know, it's one of those kind of coats. So I go there, and I go out there to induct them. And when, you know, they introduce me, people are cheering. You know, they've obviously heard of me, blah, 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 blah. I go out there, and all those cheers turn into boos immediately. I mean, big-time booze, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it, you know. I really didn't get it. They started throwing stuff at me in the ring. I'm, what the fuck is going on here? And I'm trying to get out what I'm trying to say about Max and tell some funny stories about him, you know, quick little couple really funny little things that I had about him. And they didn't let me get nothing out. I mean, the booze, please, and they started chanting, please don't talk. Please don't talk. I mean, it was just insanity. There's no... I literally gave up in the middle of talking and was like, oh, fuck it, Max, just come out and get your award. You know, so as I said, the fans are brutal, man, you know, but you know what? It's wrestling. You know, if you want it, you've got to figure it out. You've got to figure out a way to get the fans to like you. If you want them to hate you, you got to figure out a way to get them to hate you. And if you ask me, that's a lot easier than it is to get them to like you. Trying to get the fans to like you is really hard. You know, for a long time, you know, my name's Super Bad Santana Starks. So for a long time, you know, I'd go with the super bad thing. And, you know, I thought, how can I take this, you know, to the next level and, you know, really get the fans behind me? And I thought of this little idea where I got a fan, you know, a nice, powerful blowing fan. And I got myself a nice life-sized cape with my super bad symbol put on there, like Superman, but super bad. And, you know, I started coming out with this cape on, and I would stand in front of the fan, and this thing would blow in the wind, and I would hit the music, the Superman music. It was epic. I actually felt like Superman. It was great, you know, and fans bought into it, and I was like, man, all these years, all I had to do was get a damn cape. So as I said, you know, if you want it, you want to figure out a way for them to like you, to hate you, whatever it is, just figure it out. Add something to it. Do something with your gimmick. New gear is always a great thing, you know. Can't stress that enough when you see guys with, you know, don't get me wrong, it's nice to have gear, and I'm glad you bought that pair of gear, but, man, you can't wear that same singlet for the next 6 years. Like, you know, like a couple of them. Change up your gear, you know, make yourself fresh, make yourself, you know, knowing, popping, you know. I think that's what sets the difference between you and the Joe Schmo weekend warrior that, you know, is comfortable where he's at. If you're trying to actually be noticed and push yourself and get your name out there and make people want to book you and want you, make people want to book you. Just like I said, make people want to book you. Do different things. Be different. Stand out. And if that's one advice you can get out of this whole podcast, answers of stuff that I gave out, is stand out, be different. And, you know, don't just settle for being, you know, all in the same color checker as everybody else, man. Stand out. You know, don't be an all black checker. Be a red checker. Be something to stand out to everybody. You know, there's got to be something different to you. Just like this car dealership that I just drove by. You know, it always has this this Beetle that looks like a Pikachu. You know, and it's not even actually for sale. You know, they bought this Pikachu Beetle just to have it out there to stand out for people to draw them in, to be like, hey, how much is that Pikachu Beetle? Well, it's not for sale, but hey, how about this? Or hey, how about that? You know, it's something to make to grab people. You got to grab people.
And we touched on earlier that you trained a lot of people, and taking the training aspect away from it, I know that most people that have wrestled for any length of time has a set amount of moves that they most prefer using in there, be it just really simple basic moves that they really enjoy or something a little more complex that they'll use on occasion. But do you have a couple of really favorite moves that you most enjoy executing in matches?
As in like just like, do I have like signature moves that I really like to hit? Is what you're saying?
Not even so much signature moves, just moves that you get a lot of satisfaction out of performing in the ring.
Yeah, you know, when I actually get to like, usually when my rookies are ready to, you know, to advance to actually having a match and whatnot, you know, I get in the ring with them and I'll have a match with them. You know, I have these things called Friday Night Fights. They're small little, you know, shows that I throw at the school, because my school's set up pretty nice where we've got a nice little entranceway, seats and all that. We might get like 50 or 60 people in there, nothing huge. But, you know, it's something that, you know, it's just a small little show for the rookies that are doing their first match to, you know, to have their family come out and check it out. And, you know, they could be a lot less nervous, because if they fuck it up, it's just a little small little house show. It's nothing like, you know, one of our bigger shows. So, what I like to do is these spots that we work through and practice. I like to do it with the rookies and see them complete it and watch the crowd really, you know, intercept what we did, you know. So say something like with the rookies, you know, we'll start off a match and we'll do a lockup, headlock, headlock, takedown. We'll work it back up. We'll work it to the ropes, do a couple shots. We'll do an Irish whip off, shoulder tackle, drop down, hip toss, body slam. One guy will powder out. He comes back in, drop kick, take him to the corner, snap mirror, rest hold. When we do that spot, and it's on point, man, it is beautiful. And I mean, because it's like boom, 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 boom. And it's something that we're so used to doing with each other at practice. I'll be like, hey, why don't we start our match with this? You know, why don't we open up our match with this? And when we actually go through that and then the rest hold comes on really quick after that, you know, people are, you know, you get the little clap or you hear wrestling, yay, you know, like it's something that really brings a smile to my face, because it's not just your typical, you know, power move, power move, power move, power move. It actually entails wrestling. Who would have known? That's honestly those small little, as funny as it sounds, those small little basic spots that we put together are probably some of my favorites ever, because it's just stuff that everybody ignores to do these days. And it's something that I think is almost like a lost art form, you know, to really bring back the basics. You know, I think that's, simple, keep it simple is what I always say. Keep it simple, stupid, kiss. You know, if it keeps up, you know, I learned this kind of the hard way, unfortunately. I used to do a lot of moonsaults off the top rope. And when I learned from this one company where I wrestled for a long time and I used to do the moonsaults was PCW. And they had a boxing ring. They didn't have a wrestling ring. And I didn't learn this until, you know, I didn't know. I was just a rookie, you know, doing moonsaults off the top. And the boxing rings, they have no give in the middle. They almost have like a cross of beams that meet in the middle, and there's no give. It's actually probably the hardest part of the ring. It was like hitting concrete. And when I do the moonsaults, a lot of the times it would be great, but there's a couple times where my knees would hit, and they would knock my knee right out of place. And to this day, you know, I have to get surgery on my meniscus and whatnot, which I've been kind of putting off. But, you know, it was just something that, you know, I think to this day, like, if I had just not done those stupid-ass moonsaults, my knees would be fucking great right now. So if you ask me, I mean, don't get me wrong, if you're flippy, you're that type of flippy guy and you think that's what you need to do, go for it. But I learned, you know, kind of learned the hard way as my knees went out. You don't need to do all that to have an entertaining match. You really don't. You keep it simple and you do basic moves, but you sell them and you work them and, you know, you get the crowd involved. I mean, you do them the right way. It's you don't have to do flips. I mean, you get way a bigger reaction off little moves than you would off a moonsault off the top rope, you know? So, you know, that's definitely something I would say as far as that goes, is keep it a little bit more simple.
Now, of course, another thing that wrestlers tend to have favorites of is the actual ring itself. I know on the independent circuit, the quality of your rings varies greatly. Some rings are extremely comfortable to work in, very safe. Other rings seem to be like a death trap, and you're not sure how you're going to end up once you climb into those rings. Do you have a favorite actual physical ring where you compete?
Actually, the Anarchy ring is probably one of the best rings I've actually ever bumped in. I actually took a 4-hour ride in a U-Haul truck to get the ring. It was something that I got a really great price off for it, and it was a ring that I had bumped in before because I had went to a show down in Iowa, and I did the show down there, and I bumped the ring. We're bumping it in, and when I found out he was putting it up for sale, I jumped on it immediately. It was an 18x18 high spots ring, and I think probably any high spots ring, they make them pretty much all standardly the same, you know. So I've never had a problem inside of a high spot ring. So yeah, that's probably I would say that's one of my favorites to bump in. It's got great give in the middle. Nothing, not too bouncy whatsoever. Well, that kind of depends on, you know, how long the lumber's been used. But, you know, definitely no boxing ring. Like I said, as I stated, PCW was using a boxing ring. And if I have a suggestion to anybody, if you ever find out that you're going to be wrestling in a boxing ring, either don't do it or take minimal bumps, because it's just not worth hurting yourself for the rest of your life.
And you mentioned the boxing ring that would knock your knee out of place on occasion. Did you ever go to a show and then see the state of a ring and have second thoughts on what you wanted to do in the match just based on how safe you thought the actual ring was?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, most definitely, because there's been times where I always show up to the show nice and early so that I can go into the ring, feel the ropes, look at the ropes myself, because there's things you got to watch out for as well with the ropes. You know, I mean, I go to the, I've got a ring, so I know, you know, what can go wrong, what to look for. I look in the corner turnbuckles to see if some of the, you know, the ropes are starting to fray or whatnot. Cause I've seen guys when the ropes bust, the top rope's busting and you're hitting it, that guy's going flying, man. You know, no matter what, even if he's holding the rope the right way, that guy's going flying backwards. And that's just a bad situation no matter what. But yeah, that definitely, I always make sure to get there early, take a bump, feel the ring out. You know, I mean, some of these, like I said, are rock hard. You know, if they just got a whole brand new load of new lumber, man, that's going to be like bumping on concrete, you know. That stuff's got to be worn in for, you know, a couple practices or something like that, you know. But, yeah, I won't stop bumping, but, you know, that top rope elbow drop I was going to do definitely ain't happening.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you have, social media, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite ice cream shop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
So, yeah, I just want to tell everybody to check out anarchypro.com. That's our website. It's actually being updated right now, so it might look like a couple months dated. But, yeah, check out anarchypro.com. You see a lot of material on there. You can also check us out, Anarchy Pro TV. That's all one word, Anarchy Pro TV on YouTube. And we've got tons and tons of material and matches that you can see from some of the top stars and out here in the Midwest. You know, I mean, it's definitely, you can get a lot of material. I have some old webisodes on there from years back, too. The hours and hours and hours and hours of entertainment. You're going to love it. Even, we had Buff Bagwell out. We had Buff Bagwell out not too long ago as well. So, and that's something that you can check out on there as well. But, yeah, you know, check out Anarchy Pro TV. Go on to Facebook and like us, Anarchy Pro Wrestling. I think there might be one other Anarchy Pro Wrestling out there. We're the one with the skull and the flames. So check that out on Facebook, Anarchy Pro Wrestling. Like us, because we have a lot of exclusive content on there as well that we do, matches and whatnot that we put out on there that we don't put on YouTube. So make sure to like us on both surfaces, follow, like. You can check us out on Twitter at Anarchy Pro Wrestling. Anarchy Pro is one word and all this stuff. And you can also check us out. We're back April 14th at the Summit Park District in Summit, Illinois, 5700 West Archer Road. Tickets will be $10, and doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. It's going to be a great time. Definitely something that you're not going to want to miss. Also, we're going to have a Friday Night Fight in March, which is going to be really big. It's actually going to be a free show. Free Friday Night Fight. So if you're anywhere in the Chicagoland area, make sure you like Anarchy Pro and keep you updated when the next Friday Night Fights will be. Also, and this is just putting this out there because this is a sponsor, Starks Pest Control. Make sure you go onto Facebook and like Starks Pest Control, as it keeps you up to date with any type of pest questions, any type of videos, anything like that. It's got really cool videos from when, you know, they go out on the job, so go ahead and like it. If you ever need any type of pest control, make sure to give them a call. Other than that, I really have nothing else. That's it.
Well, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. I want to wish you the best of luck as you continue on with your career, and hopefully we'll get the chance to do this again down the road. Fans, if you're anywhere near where Santana Starks is going to be, make sure you buy a ticket, support what he does, follow him on the social medias, and we will be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have one of our local Pacific Northwest performers with us. Mr. Fitness will be on the program this coming Sunday afternoon, so make sure you are with us then, and we will see you Sunday. If you're in the neighborhood of Yakima tomorrow, definitely come check us out at Big League Wrestling in Toppenish, Washington.
Can I plug one more thing, man?
Absolutely.
Oh, no worries. Okay, so yeah, sorry about that. I almost forgot. I got a big weekend coming up this weekend. Friday, you can check me out in DeMott, Indiana, where I'll be wrestling for making my debut for Acme Championship Wrestling. Where I'll be taking on their heavyweight championship in my debut match. And believe me, I plan on leaving with that gold. Also, you can check me out Saturday night for Adrenaline Ringside Wrestling in Indiana. We're going to be in Lake Station, Indiana. Adrenaline Ringside Wrestling, once again, in Lake Station, Indiana. Come check that out. And that's it for next weekend. A nice full weekend of Superbad. Come check it out. It's my party. If I want to hit it.
Definitely check them out, fans. Well worth the price, and we'll talk to you Sunday.